I guess I should go ahead and just apologize that you get me twice this morning. I'm sorry that you get me for announcements, for the sermon. Don't worry, Todd will be back next week, and I will only have one role, because I will not take Basil's role. That is for sure. You don't want me leading singing. This last week, you know, I had these great thoughts this last week of, oh, it's going to be a pretty easy week. Even I had a friend of mine text me and say, hey, will you have time this week to talk and we can talk about a few things? And I was like, yeah, it's not that crazy. Didn't forget about the sermon. Didn't forget about the fundraiser, but I was like, oh, it won't be, it turned to be a little crazier week than I thought with our Pause for a Cause. And then we actually had an event last night with two other youth ministries here in town or in the area, and then with a sermon. And so I was like, oh, well, things went a little busier than I expected. And Alyssa would probably say, well, that's just normal, Tyler. You overcommit all the time. It's true. But we're here, and we made it to the sermon part of it. But I want to step back for just a second and go back to Wednesday. I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Almost 6 years ago, when I made the decision to come to Park Avenue, one of the big reasons that helped make my decision was seeing the support of this church for their youth, for the youth ministry, for the children's ministry. That was a big reason I moved here. And here's what's incredible. That support continues to grow and has only grown from that time. I thought, man, it's already amazing. It just keeps getting better. You continue to amaze me for the support for our students and the support for our younger generations. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for understanding how important it is for our students to grow in the Lord. And I just want to say thank you for that ability. We raised at the current moment, just over $2,600, and that number is still climbing, and that's going to help a lot of students go to camp, mission trip, retreats, and so much more. So thank you for that. And we had a lot of fun and ate a lot, too many desserts on Wednesday. There's a cake still at my house that I've pretty much worked on by myself, and It's got to go soon. So if you want some chocolate cake, see me afterwards. As I was preparing this lesson this week and thinking about where we're going and just this theme, the greatest commandment, some words kept ringing in my ears. And they're the words, Tyler, you are such a rule follower. You might be saying, well, why do these words ring through your ears? Well, Alyssa tells me that all the time. It's usually about very simple things. I am the person who I make sure, and many of you have heard this before, but I make sure to go in the entrance and out the exit at Walmart. That is me. If you see me going through the exit, you better pull me and say, what is wrong with you? Are you sick? Because something is wrong with me that day if I go through the exit or out the entrance. Something has to be drastic. And I would also question you a little bit if you're that person who goes the other way. I am also the one, if there's a parking spot in front of a business that says this is for this specific business, they could be closed. I am not parking there. Alyssa will say, but it's closer. Doesn't matter. It's the point of it. All right. I also texted Alyssa this morning as I was trying to fine-tune some few things and said, hey, tell me what makes me a rule follower. And you say it, but what? I opened the door. All right. I made the mistake here. All right. I gave her a chance to vent, so she did. Here's a few things that Alyssa says about me when it comes to a rule follower. She says this, societal rules, like if someone was saving you a place in line because you were late, you wouldn't join them, and that That's 100% true. That is me. I am the one. I will go to the back of the line because I feel bad for everyone else who waited, and I'm the one who was late. I wouldn't want to cut, is what I tell her all the time. Disney World was a great experience for that. It stretched me a little bit because I was probably more willing to cut there than anywhere else. Here's the other part she said, kind of on the same line, but she said, if we're in front, we will just go to the back with the people instead of letting them cut with us to not offend anyone else in line. For Alyssa would say, if it's up to her, she'd just let them cut, not me. I don't know. There's something about rules. There's so many rules out there, and a lot of it is just simple things that I look at, and it's not that I like rules. I'm not a fan of rules. I just don't like to break rules. I would rather follow them, or at least try to, if they're there. And sometimes rules make things less messy. Sometimes they don't. You guys know that. I can already see within our kids, we've got certain ones that are going to be a rule follower. I think Nehemiah, he kind of pushes the line a little bit, but in his mind, there's still rules, and he knows them. Our second child, there are no rules in her life at the moment. Little Miss Finley will be the one not just pushing the line, she'll be flying over it, being launched by some sort of thing that she has devised together, because there are no rules in her mind. She's going at it. Alyssa texted me this morning. She said, well, you won't believe what your daughter did. She just went right after Nehemiah. And I was like, good for her. She goes, it was unprovoked. Oh, never mind. Normally he provokes her to do something, but today she went for it. She's also going to be the reason at some point where this, it won't just be a receding hairline, it'll be gone. And that will be Finley. But here's what I also know. And it's different in our own house of looking at who's going to follow rules and who doesn't. And Alyssa and I are different in that aspect. She is not quite the rule follower that I am. It stretched our marriage just a bit. But we were making it. We're making it. But I also know in this room, we all land at different places as it comes to rules and how we see them. You might be one of them that you love rules. You love the structure that they bring. There's just something about them that you love rules. Not just the following, but just that they're there. Accountants kind of come to my mind a little bit. Sorry, accountants. They like that structure aspect of things. Then we've got the ones who are kind of like me. You follow the rules. You like to follow the rules because you don't want to press the line too much. And then we got the rest of you. Right? And you go by the phrase, rules are meant to be broken. Yeah, that's the rest of you. Oh, my goodness. Basil, I don't know if we have enough time. We probably should have cut another song or two before. But here's the hard part. Sometimes when we look at Scripture, we see a bunch of rules or restrictions. The rule followers see this as, I need to follow these as close as possible. The other side sees this as, let's think how close I can get to them and get right to the line, and maybe even, I don't know if I agree with that, so I'm going to blow right past that one. What if we looked at Scriptures as it comes to more of the commandments and the rules a little differently? Instead of just having to follow them to follow them. We see the religious leaders that they kind of were in the same line, that they looked at Scriptures as rules and said, we got to follow it this way. And they made sure you saw how they followed those rules. And they weren't following them for the right reasons. And we see Jesus' interactions with them many times as highlighting this of, hey, you're rule followers, but man, you're not doing it for the right reasons. You're not following them how you should be. called them out. He called out the religious leaders often. And often they got very upset. And this morning, as we look at the greatest commandment, the greatest command for you and I want to take a little different approach. What if we let this command form and shape us? Not just look at it as a rule, but look at it as a way of shaping our life, to where it truly impacts us. Let it become who we are. Some of you are like, I hope he picked the right rule, because if not, we're going back to a different place. Don't worry, I got the perfect rule to help with us. We're going to be in Mark 12 for most of today, but Mark 12 is referenced from another part in Scripture. So let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." This passage is a passage we use a lot in ministry, especially in youth ministry and children's ministry, and it's shaped a lot of how many of our ministries are formed as it comes to that aspect of this Deuteronomy 6 mindset. Truly of shaping people, of how to follow this and live our lives. And then if you keep going down in Deuteronomy 6, it talks about just sharing it with others. It is, you know, it just becomes a true part of who we are, of this command. And so in Mark 12, Jesus says it very similarly, but adds another way to love the Lord as well in his part to it. But also in Mark 12, just before we get into verse 28, the teachers of the law, they're testing Jesus. They're asking him questions, which we kind of referenced a little bit ago, of just that was something they did. They're rule followers. And so when Jesus would come along and kind of rock the world a little bit, they kept asking questions. They're trying to trap him. And his answers would continue to frustrate them and continue to rub them the wrong way. Well, we see a little unique part here in chapter 12, that one of the teachers is seeing all this happen and is on Jesus' side. He's like, he's giving good answers. Read this first part in 28. It says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?'" A little different role for the teacher to say, oh, Jesus is on to something. Most of them are like, get this man. And he is not. But he's also asking a question here that I'm wondering, is he just trying to rile up the other religious leaders? It's like, oh, well, let's put Jesus on the spot. I like where he's going. I think I'm going to like his next answer, but let's see how these other guys do. Let's see them squirm a little bit as Jesus gets ready to say this. I don't know. Maybe that's not his intention, but maybe it is. Just let's see where he goes. I agree with him, but let's keep pressing here. I can also relate to this question some, though. In a sense, saying, which rule is the one I shouldn't break? The rule follower in me of, you know, I can't follow all the rules, but I'm going to follow as many and as well as I possibly can. But it's also nice to know which one's the most important, right? If I break this little one on accident, it's okay because I've kept the big rule. Right? I need to follow that one the closest. You know, as a good rule follower, we know which one is the most important. Right? The one to keep God happy. Right? Not the right mindset. Definitely not the right mindset. That definitely is more of a legalistic, and I don't want us to be stuck on that aspect of it. And so as Jesus answers this question, here's what he says in verse 29. "The most important one is hear this, is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. You know, we've heard these powerful words before, as read in Deuteronomy 6. Right? And we're going to break them down about what it looks like loving our God fully here in just a few minutes. But here's the thing, and verse 31 didn't stop with this interaction with Jesus and this teacher. It continues. The conversation continues. And so in verse 32, he says this. This is a teacher speaking. He said, well said. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. Man, what an interaction. What a follow-up by this teacher. He was different than what we know about many of the religious teachers. And Jesus gives him high praises for it as well. The teacher understood what Jesus was saying. That this commandment wasn't as much about following rules as it's about fully loving the Lord and loving others. Which had not been one of the most common traits of the other teachers of the law. They were your typical rule followers and rubbing it in the faces of others. So seeing this interaction and seeing this passage, so where do we go from here? Let's dissect this passage a little bit more and see how it can truly shape each of us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Loving God with all our heart. You know, I see this as loving him with all our emotions. And man, do we have a lot of emotions. Come to our house at about 5:15, 5:30, you will see the emotions. I mean, that could be morning or night, so you're welcome at any time. So we're awake. But seriously, though, there is an intensity that comes from our heart. We hear a lot about follow our hearts. And I think that is part when our heart is behind something that we are all in. And when we hear say, follow your heart, I don't know as much for me as much about where my heart is leading, but is my heart behind this? Right? Because when it's not behind something, and I apologize if this has ever been something that you've asked me to do, people notice. Like when my heart's not in it, it is noticeable. But when my heart is, I'm all in. I am ready. And God knows the importance of our heart. And our heart is mentioned many times throughout Scripture. Here are just a few of how important our heart is in following God and that he gets it all. He wants us to have all of our heart. And he knows for us that's not an easy task. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This idea of everything we do flows from it. When my heart's all in, you're seeing it. You're seeing the fruit and the flow from it. Proverbs 27, verse 19, it says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. We reflect what's in our hearts, where our heart is pointed and going. And then Jeremiah 29, 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is saying you will, When you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. God wants all our heart. All the emotions that come with it, all the intensity that comes with it. He wants us to love him with all of that. Not just part of it, all of it. If our whole heart is not fully loving him, it's falling for something else. There's something else in this world that's pulling it away. And he knows we need it to be all for him. Is your heart reflecting this? Is it reflecting the love for the Lord? Or is it reflecting the love for this world? Second thing that Jesus says, it says, love the Lord your God with all your soul. Let's stop there for a second and I'll just be honest with you. The whole soul aspect of it, that for me is, for my simple brain, is sometimes hard to understand, hard to comprehend. To love God with our soul sometimes is very difficult, to understand our soul and what it is. I read an article earlier this week and can't remember who wrote it, but they said this: to love God with our soul means that this innate part of us that always knew that we were created by Creator, when we let ourselves be still and quiet, is that something inside of you that just knows that there is a God. When we look into Scripture, we see that the soul is this deep part inside of each of us. It's also referred to quite a bit, but not as much as the heart. But especially in the Psalms, we see this aspect of the soul, this deep feeling. And I think with this idea of shaping, it comes to loving with all our soul. We love with the deepest parts of us. Beyond our heart, beyond our mind, beyond our strength, it's the deepest part of us. The part that continues on after our death. So when we love with all our soul, God is not just getting our heart and the intensity and the emotion, but he's getting the deepest part of you and I. And then love the Lord your God with all your mind. Oh, man, our mind. My mind's been racing. You know, someone asked me, how about today? How was today? And I was like, it's chaos. I mean, it's not chaos around me. It's more chaos in my mind. It's just going crazy. Our mind is a place where we process information, tons of information. Our heart is more emotional based. Our soul is that deep part inside of us, and our mind is what processes all the information we take in. Where we start to understand things or realize all that Scripture has for us. You know, Proverbs 3 says, not depending on our own understanding, and our mind is processing and realizing that we can't even understand all of it because we need the help of God to understand it. All right, for the true understanding. It is possible to know and believe in the truth of the Bible, and our brain is processing through that and takes in all this information that we believe in and saying, we believe in this truth and we know the truth from Scripture. But if your mind's anything like mine, I still fall for the lies of this world. Satan is constantly working to corrupt my mind and our minds, our understanding of things. He doesn't want us to get the understanding from Scripture. He wants us to get it from this world. Satan wants us to get it from this world. He doesn't want us to get the true understanding from God. We are talking about sexuality in youth group right now for the last three Sundays and tonight as well. You want to talk about a place where Satan has corrupted a lot of minds? That is it right there. He's been preaching messages and even telling us as Christ followers, hey, stay away from this subject. It's a little touchy. You don't know where people are going to land. I don't know about this or that. And he's continued to preach lies and preach lies to our students and preach lies to us as adults. in so many ways of saying, well, it's okay. No one's going to know about this. It's okay. Oh, change your belief on this. It's okay. The lies that are told and that are preached to us and into our minds. Right? We can't let them come in. Loving the Lord with all our mind is overcoming those lies that we are told. The lies that are being spun to pull us away. And when we love the Lord with all our mind, it's truly believe the truth of the Lord. As with the rest of these things, this is so much easier said than done. For us, for me, it means a lot of work of cleaning up what we let into our minds. What messages do we allow to have an influence on us, to speak to us? Satan knows how to attack us, and he uses a trusted source sometimes to get those messages across. He knows where we are weak and tries so hard to change our minds, to change our minds from loving the Lord and following him. We must continue to fight not to let those messages impact us and shape us. Instead, let our mind be fully loving the Lord, uncorrupted. And let's love the Lord with all our mind. Fourth one that Jesus says is, love the Lord your God with all your strength. I've been lacking a few days in the gym lately, just to let you know, let myself go a little bit, but it's okay. We're going to make it. I'm still strong in some areas, maybe. But we're not talking about that strength. We've been working our way down here from our heart to our soul to our mind and now our strength. We'll use some layman terms here. Our actions. Things people see. Do my actions show love for God? Is how I am living showing those around me that I love the Lord? How I live each and every day is showing who I truly love. We see in James chapter 1, we can't just read his words. We've got to do more. They've got to become part of us. James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, but don't listen to God's word. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. We're living it out. You are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the world or to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. This law will set us free. This commandment that we let become part of our life sets us free. Following this command is not about following a rule. It's about becoming who we are made to be. We are living for Him. And how we show our actions is a sign of love. When we love the Lord with our strength, we step out in faith and take action. God wants us to live out our faith. And He asks us to have faith and believe in Him. And as we live out our faith, others see our love and our actions for Him. The last little part is maybe kind of continues this thought, but also maybe saying it's more part two of this and not really a different one. It's part two because Jesus says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. He's combining them together. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, this is one we could spend 2 or 3 weeks on easily. We don't have enough time for that aspect of it, but I would be dropping the ball here if we didn't at least spend a couple of minutes. So as we finish up, I want to focus on this last aspect. We've talked about loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. Now we get to this part that's a little more loaded scripture. Jesus doesn't just say love others, which some, you know, we sometimes format in that, just love others. But remember, I'm a rule follower, so it comes back to the wording for me. Because he says to love them as yourself. I can get behind the whole love other part, but why did he have to throw in that last part? I love myself a lot too much. Why did he have to go that far? I can love God with all I have. It's not easy, but I think I can do it, or at least give it my best efforts. But now you're asking me to go a whole nother level, Jesus. Jesus, why couldn't you have just said, just love others? I can love others. I mean, I've got a scale of love, but I can love them. Right? Smaller levels for certain people, bigger levels for others. But then he had to add this whole part of love them as I love myself. And he didn't specify who. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. You thought it was hard before, at least for me, it just got a lot harder. But following Christ is not easy, and if we were just following a rule, we'd give up a long time ago. Because it's more than that. The whole passage is about becoming who we are in Christ, loving our God and loving others as ourselves. When we love others as ourselves, it's truly embodying what God wants for our lives. To love Him and to fully love His people. How are you doing with loving others as yourself? Because most days I struggle. But the whole aspect of this passage, it's about changing our heart towards God, changing our mind towards God, changing our soul and our strength. And that affects how we love other people. That if those things aren't in line, it's going to be a lot harder to love others as yourself. Because that love comes from God, because God is love. So where's your heart? Where's your soul pointing today? How about your mind? Are you fighting some battles? Is your actions showing who you truly love? Let's get those things right so that we can love people with all our hearts. But not only love our Lord with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul, with all our strength, but we can love others as well. Let's stand and sing.
Love.